Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
How about that? Like, I don't know what more I can say to you. Obviously, we didn't get to talk yesterday. We get to talk tonight, and I was even delayed an hour. We have one less hour to talk tonight. Of course, because of the Kevin Stefanski show, great product. Nathan Drott, everybody doing a great job over there, but we are delayed. I've been waiting. This is the longest I've had to possibly wait all year to talk to you guys. And it was about the start that I wanted to talk to you about. But it's just because we sit here and I think a lot of people sat and waited for Shador to start, as did I. And, you know, we rationalized, or at least I rationalized the way through it with objective thinking. The fact that, hey, you drafted Dylan in the third round, you gave him first team reps. It made a lot of sense that even if I didn't agree with it, you're probably going to start Dylan first. But we sat, we waited. The Browns get to 2-8. Feels like the offense has no life. And I'm not here to tell you that they played a tremendous game and just absolutely killed the Raiders. They did as a team, but the offense didn't play like a tremendous game. Shador didn't play, you know, lights out football game. He was 11 of 20. He threw a pick, a bad pick. But like, for once, it felt like the offense actually had life. And for once, it felt like the roster had a little life. Like, I haven't felt this way watching a Browns game all season long, probably going all the way back to, like, week one. Like, I mean, I felt good about the Miami game, but it did just feel like, man, I mean, the defense is just flat out winning you this game. And in a lot of ways, obviously not the individual performance, the individual throws, but I would compare Dylan's start in Miami to Shador's start in Las Vegas. Or I should say Dylan start against Miami to Shador start in Las Vegas. But like, they were in a lot of ways comparable to me. Obviously, Dylan didn't make a 50-some yard throw on the run, basically off of one leg and drop it in the bucket to Isaiah Bond. But for the most part, both quarterbacks did what they had to do in order to win the game. We're not asked to do very much more. Now, Shador did a little bit more, but was not asked to do very much more. And he allowed the defense to carry you through. Like, in a lot of ways, I think this is what the vision for Kevin Stefanski kind of was all year long, right? Is that the offense doesn't have to go out there and be absolutely incredible. Sure, if they are, great, but that's not going to be the expectation. But you rely on your defense a little bit. You allow them to play their way through a game. And sure, it definitely helps that the Raiders just flat out stink. It certainly helps that offensive line. We joked about the fact, you know, Myles Garrett might walk away from that game with 10 sacks. Well, the Browns walked away from that game with 10 sacks. Didn't think Geno was going to go down that much. Like, that was, again, I think the way that Kevin and this entire team really pictured their offense working was, hey, don't go out there and kill us. Try to make some plays. Try to keep us off the field when it makes sense. And then just allow the defense to feast. Now, is that going to work against every single team the exact same way? No, it's not going to work the exact same way every time. Of course, it's not going to work because not every single offense is going to be the Las Vegas Raiders and play just that poorly. But this is where we walk away from it. It's like, and I want to know from you guys, 216-474-0092 as we start tonight off. How would you grade Shador's starting debut to the point where I kind of looked at it? And I think when you put everything into perspective, and I'm not grading this out to every start made in the NFL this year, right? Let's make that very clear. I'm not looking at it as, hey, how did he compare to how Lamar Jackson did 3 weeks ago? From a Browns performance and what was asked of you, I go through and I look at Shador's start, and I probably give him a B plus. Like, again, there was a lot of things to work on. It wasn't by any means a perfect start. But you walked out of that game, Shador, outside of the interception, which, again, it's not like I'm going to sit here and defend the interception. It was a bad throw. Did not see the linebacker, the guy coming off the edge, just drop back into coverage and perfectly read his eyes, faked that he was going to the flat, and then just sat on the pass and had to do absolutely nothing else. I mean, it was the most textbook just edge drop back that we've ever seen. But outside of that, again, like, you didn't put the ball into harm's way too often. You made plays down the field. You tried to extend drives. And most importantly, you put the team in positions to score points. Like, you walk away from that game scoring 24, and the special teams helped you out that day. But you also had an entire another drive that, and we're going to talk about Jerry later, but Jerry kind of killed that drive. I mean, he took a 40-yard completion that was certainly going to end up in points. Just in general, that entire drive was going to, and, you know, kind of just threw it away because Jerry wanted to do some weird dead leg type of juke and was not aware of his surroundings. But, like, overall, again, it felt like a B plus to me, to the point where I think that obviously by the fact that Shador is going to be starting against the Niners, you look around and you go, he kind of did exactly what he needed to. What did we talk about that Shador had to do in order to keep the starting job? Really, going into this week, it was number one for us, earn a win. Like, I think it's very hard in a season where you had two wins going into this game that if your starting quarterback walks out of it with a win, that you're just going to go, not going to go back to you. Sorry, I'd like to pick on the one win that was led with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I was going to say it was led by Joe Flacco at quarterback. It was led with Joe Flacco at quarterback. And then the one win that was led with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. Okay, well, that took, you know, a total games played, the opportunity that those guys had. Joe had four, and starting games, you could argue, you know, either way you want to go, Dylan had five, six, whatever you want to throw it at. Shador had one. Like, he put out there one game, and it was against a bad team, but you won the game. So you check that off, and then it was check off the look better than Dylan Gabriel box. I think in a lot of ways, Shador looked better than just about every single start that Dylan Gabriel put out there. A lot of people highlight the fact that, hey, was a 66-yard pass to Dylan Sampson really all Shador? No, I mean, he threw a bubble screen and Dylan Sampson housed it. But you could make the argument that just that play alone, obviously, as you compare it, and I know McNeil did on X, but when you compare it to the bubble screen that Dylan Gabriel threw to Malachi Corley where he airmails him, it's like, yeah, I wasn't asking him to do too much, but in other ways, guys weren't really going out there and completing the same plays with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. They weren't given the opportunity to complete the same plays with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback. I think that Shador left you with a feeling that, hey, there was obviously a big play to Isaiah Bond where he showcased the talent, but for a majority of the rest of the game, Shador did all of the things that you pretty much asked him to do. Right, all of the improvements we wanted to see. I don't want to see Shador, you know, get happy feet in the backfield and run around a ton. I don't want to see Shador hang on to the ball for too long. He cleaned up a lot of plays in those aspects. Like, there weren't too many moments, almost at all, that I looked around in that game and went, yeah, Shador's got this ball for far too long. Or, hey, what is Shador doing trying to dance around in the backfield? He was a lot more confident and a lot more decisive, just being willing to throw the football away, just being willing to, hey, I have to take the check down on this play. That's what's available to me. I looked for the big route, not there. Time's coming up. Let's just get this thing out and take the free yardage that we have. Again, he made all of the improvements that it felt like you wanted him to really make. And Albert Breer was on earlier today with JP and Daryl, who's filling in for Nick on Afternoon Drive. And I think Albert kind of put it perfectly. The one thing we haven't mentioned that really just gives you everything you need after watching a Shador start.
I think the discourse is still, like, that bleep crazy. But, like, I think you saw some things where you want to see more. You know, like, sort of my thought coming out of it was, you know, first of all, like, that's a bad Raiders team and the defense carried you. And great, you know what I mean? Like, I think that part of it shouldn't be forgotten. Miles Garrett was unbelievable. And, you know, just as far as Shador in a vacuum, like, I think you saw a few things that, like, would make you want to get a second look and see it against a better opponent and give him another week in practice. And now you build and you see where you can go with it. You know, I think I've said this a few times to you guys. guys. Like, I don't think the quarterback for next year is on the roster right now. And you have runway with Shador, where he's under contract for another 3 years. So, you know, I think you saw that he brought some juice. And, you know, the throw to Bond was a highlight, of course. I think, like, it makes you want to see, like, a little bit more. So, you know, we'll see a little bit more this week and see where it takes it.
And again, obviously, I don't agree with everything that Albert Breer just threw out there, because we know how I feel about Shador, and I do feel that Shador is actually a good quarterback that, you know, if not necessarily you're immediately going to the first round next year. I think that's the most likely case scenario, but it's not a guarantee, especially depending on how many more wins you stack up, whether that be 4 total wins, 5 total wins. Hell, if you get to 6, I'd be surprised, but we'll see. But I think that the idea that Shador had a start and then left you wanting more, left you wanting to see something else from the quarterback, is something that you have to look at and you have to give a little bit of credence to. You can't ignore the fact that he left you desiring more. It's exactly what it was. It's why you look at the throw to Isaiah Bond, and I think you value that one very high, because in a lot of ways, I compared it to the Dylan start in Miami. It was the same way I felt. Now you're benching Dylan after he beats the Dolphins, right? Did he play an incredible game? No, not really. But he didn't do anything to lose you the game. He's pretty much capitalized on the opportunities he had to capitalize on, went 13 of 18, and you walked away with a win. The same thing with Shador in this game. Okay, he handled everything he needed to do, but the throw to Isaiah Bond is what leaves a lot of people kind of wanting more. It's like, you saw the flash. You saw that there's something there, in addition to, oh, I can just make the easy throws, make the right throws, and beat a really bad Raiders team with a great defense behind me. 216-474-0092. How would you grade Shador Sanders' starting debut for the Browns against the Raiders? We got plenty of good stuff coming up. Coming up here at 8:40, we're going to talk to our Cleveland Sports beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. We're also going to get a grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock. We got plenty of Shador Sanders conversation. We're going to talk about Jerry Jeudy, and it is a Blind Tier Tuesday. Again, 216-474-0092. How would you grade Shador's starting performance, his starting debut? And you can also get to me on X, at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can do our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We get to your calls as well. I think some people just want to find a reason to want Shador to fail.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A clip that really I did not understand coming your way in 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys here until 11 on The Fan. I'm not going to just get away, I think, with this one. I just can't sit here and allow it to. Feels like people want to hate. We'll listen to it coming up here in just a few minutes, but I do want to get to you guys. 216-474-0092 again. I do feel I would have given Shador a B+. I wouldn't know what you would have given him. Let's get out to the phones, and we'll go with Todd in Ward 1 first. What's going on, Todd?
C+, Jake.
C+.
Yep, C+. And the reason why I say that is because I watched the Carolina game, the preseason game, and all the snaps that he took, and I saw barely marginal improvement from that game to this game. And for those that I hear it a lot, well, it was preseason. Well, yeah, it doesn't count towards regular season record, but it does count towards your quality of play. And his quality of play looked C plus then, and he said that himself. That came out of his mouth after I'd already said it to somebody else. He wasn't listening to me, but I was listening to him. So then I look at what he did against the Raiders, and I take in consideration the quality of team they were playing against. I would have been much more impressed if he had done more with the ability to exploit the team that he played against. However, I read something this morning. Okay.
All right.
And I saw that and I watched the whole 49ers game last night.
As did I.
Which was a struggle for me because I only used to stay up late like that. But what
struggle
I read
for
this
me
morning,
for other reasons, Todd. It's because it was god awful football. But continue.
However, they are the Browns' next competitors, so I wanted to see what they could do. And I saw this morning and compared it to what I saw in the game last night that the 49ers are in last place for sacks in the league. Did you already know that?
I mean, I knew the defensive line is really beat up. I didn't have the sack numbers off the top of my head, but I knew they were pretty low on there. I mean, they're missing Nick Bosa. Hey, their entire defense is pretty much riddled with injuries, despite what Bryce Young would tell you last night.
That's going to work out for Shador, because if your sack total is 13 and you only got one last night, and we both know Shador holds the ball a lot, that's going to work out to his advantage on Sunday. And then I also saw that they're 25th in tackles for a loss, which, again, comes back to him holding the ball a lot, and that gives him some room to really do some work. I don't think the secondary is as bad as the Raiders' secondary, so I expect him to get picked off at least three times. But
Three times? Whoa.
Yeah, I think they're going to get him three times on Sunday, but that doesn't mean they're going to score on him. So with those things in mind of what I'm just now telling you, do you feel the same that I feel that the odds look good for him to get two more wins? Because then after that, it's the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, Todd, and I appreciate the call as always. I think a lot of people walked into, I mean, probably even back to a few weeks ago, but especially at the beginning of the season, looked at 49ers game and probably went, yeah, it's probably a loss. I don't feel that exact same way right now. I'm not telling you they're going to go out there and 100% win that game, but that defense is bad. Brock Purdy also did not look good last night. You talk about quality of play. That Panthers team that Shador was beating up on, a majority of the first team on early on in that Panthers preseason game, that same Panthers defense. Now, J.C. Horn wasn't playing that game, but like he was playing last night, but Brock Purdy made that Panthers defense look like a bear. I do think, though, comparatively to what Todd was talking, because he said he didn't see much improvement from the Panthers game. Now, Shador obviously looked pretty good in the Panthers game to a lot of people. There were a lot of things they looked at. I still thought in the Panthers game, Shador was holding onto the ball far too long. I thought he was dancing around the backfield, but he got away with it. Like, I remember watching that going, I'm not taking away the fact that he threw a really good football, but there were a couple of things that he just tried to do in that game that were not going to work against a first-team defense and a good, you know, first-team NFL defense. I didn't feel that way in this game. Like, there were not many things that he did where I was just like, oh, man, it's the Raiders. Like, no, Max Crosby was out there, and the Browns certainly gave him plenty of attention to make sure that he didn't wreck that game, and he still, you know, had his impact, especially late in that game. But Shador handled himself well. Like, he moved around a lot, but that's by design in the Browns' offense. And a lot of the times he moved around, he was moving either laterally or forward. It wasn't like he was moving backwards, which, again, in that Panthers game, he definitely still did and found a way to get away from. Like, I do think that he showed improvement in that game. Again, let's go out. How would you grade Shador? Craig is in Akron. What's going on, Craig?
Hey, what's up?
Nothing much, man.
Actually, the same as the last guy, a C+.
Okay.
I saw stuff I liked, and honestly, the Raiders were just flat-out disrespecting him. On that long Isaiah Bond pass, they had no safeties in the backfield. They just came at him. He spun away. You know, Isaiah Bond got open by, like, 5 yards, and there were no safeties. Like, no offense, but every quarterback in the NFL can throw to a guy who's 5 yards open, or else he wouldn't be in the NFL. But there were things I liked in the game, you know. I like the fact he did spin away from that, but to tell you the truth, I like the boring quarterbacks that just, you know, get the ball out quick, you know, make the reads. Those are usually your consistent guys that, you know, can move the offense day in and day out. I like the boring stuff because the boring stuff usually leads to good offense.
Yeah, but hey, Craig, the problem I have with the boring stuff, and I appreciate you making your call. The problem I have with the boring stuff with this team is that, like, we saw the boring stuff, and I don't even think that Dylan was, like, he probably gets a little bit too much hate for the way that he played, but Dylan was that boring quarterback. There's not enough pieces around this offense to have a boring quarterback. And quite frankly, boring quarterbacks don't usually end up being franchise quarterbacks. I mean, I hate to pull on Brock Purdy twice in the span of, like, 5 minutes, but Brock Purdy got paid a handsome amount of money just so we could watch Mac Jones this year basically do everything that they wanted Brock Purdy to do. And we watched Mac Jones fail. Like, Mac Jones had a good year. Mac Jones also then, again, failed miserably in New England. It wasn't like you were looking at Mac going, oh, okay, that guy's got to get another chance, and he's going to look incredible when he does. It was like, yeah, he might be a backup quarterback. Maybe he'll get, like, a reclamation project, a Sam Darnold, Geno Smith-type beat at some point. Like, again, he looked really good for the 49ers. They have more talent around him. They have a great offensive scheme. I watched boring this year. And, like, we talk about the fact everybody can make that throw. I thought that was one of the most glaring overstatements. And I know Lima made that statement. I've heard several other people be like, well, that's just a throw every NFL quarterback can make. I don't think that's true. Like, just because you're in the NFL doesn't mean you can throw the ball on the run, evading pressure, basically off of your back leg, using mostly arm talent, to go 50 yards and drop it in the bucket. If that was just a normal NFL quarterback play, again, I would have watched Dylan Gabriel make it this year. It would have happened. Something would have happened where I see Dylan Gabriel make that throw or anything anywhere close to it. But I never saw Dylan make a throw that was, I mean, half as impressive, to be honest, as that throw was from Shador. And again, if you want to talk about positives, and I know Craig pointed to this, it's not me picking on Craig, but, like, the ability to quickly read and evade the pressure and extend the play long enough to actually make a play out of that was once again improvement for Shador. I do want to get to this point here. We're talking to Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, coming up here in about 10 minutes. I do think that there are a lot of people, and not that it was Todd or Craig, but there are people, especially in the media, I think, just trying to find a way to hate on Shador and hate on even the performance that he had. I'm not saying you got to go to the moon for it. If you tell me C+, I think you're a little low on it, but I'm not telling you that you're absolutely crazy. Who I do think might be a little crazy on this one, Connor Orr on the MMQB podcast with Albert Breer breaking down Shador's first start. This I just don't get.
I thought that the game plan was hilarious. The reason why is at every instance, Shador tried to take the governor switch off the car and to push the throttle all the way to 90. I think that's exactly what Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees didn't want to happen. The Browns' confidence in Shador can be defined by this. Every time they got into the red zone, it was Wildcat and he wasn't on the field. Okay. They punted from the opponent's 27-yard line. Ross Tucker even said it in the booth. He goes, I've never seen this before in my entire life. I mean, that's how bad the Raiders offense was, to be fair, and you're sort of playing within the flow of the game there. But it was check the ball down, don't make any mistakes. And still, Shador would pull the ball, roll out, and fling it deep every chance that he got. And it's unfair of me to say that I don't see it. He clearly has talent, but I think that he's got to learn how to play in an orchestra first. And I think that there was a push and pull there that didn't sit quite well with.
I mean, did we just watch, I feel like I didn't watch that game the same way that Connor Orr did at all. Like, I did not feel that Shador was trying to take the governor switch off the car. It felt like, again, I saw Shador a lot of times in that game just find his check down. Like, when things aren't going to the right way, where you're probably are trying to look downfield, that is something that Shador is going to do. He is going to look for the big play first and then immediately work to his check down. Like, that's kind of the progression I prefer. Why aren't we looking for the big play first? The check down's going to be there, and if it's not, you're going to throw the ball away. It's not like you need to hit the check down immediately. Felt like that's, again, a lot of what Dylan was doing was going to the check down too quickly and taking away some of your deep opportunities. But I did watch Shador take that check down a lot, and I didn't feel like he was going completely off script. The Isaiah Bond play, off script. Like, But it was a great play. Kevin Stefanski gave him praise for that play after the game. Everybody saw Myles Garrett's reaction to that play after the game. It's like, I just don't feel that that was the same way it went. The game plan was in a lot of ways a very similar game plan to the entire Browns offense that we've watched play week after week. It was, yes, played to a lot of the short stuff. Shador went 11 for 20 and played to a lot of the short stuff. I mean, he had, I think, four pass attempts beyond 20 yards, and two of them were completed. One of them was fumbled, and one of them was just an absolute throwaway. It wasn't actually even intended to get into a receiver's hands. I don't understand how off script that can be. It did feel like Shador executed the game plan in a lot of ways to the degree that they wanted to. I don't know how we're using Quinshon Judkins running the Wildcat as a pure negative. Yeah, they got to the red zone, brought in an extra blocker, and used their second round draft pick, who has been an elite running back so far this year, to punch it into the end zone. It worked every single time that they went to it. Why wouldn't you? I don't care if I have Josh Allen on the field. If it is guaranteeing me points, which in that game it was against the Raiders, I'm still taking Josh Allen off the field, and I'm putting Quinshon Judkins in the game and letting him run the football. Punting on the 29 was a little crazy, a little wild, but I did understand it. Like, there was less than a minute to go. You're thinking, if they block this kick, all they have to do is recover one, and they have a very short field to go. Let's just make them go the length of the field. Let's bank on them not blocking the punt, because that's a lot harder to do necessarily than blocking a field goal. And they're going to have to score two touchdowns in the span of a minute and like 8 seconds. Not going to happen. You just played by the fact that your defense was absolutely incredible. 216-474-0092. Are people just hunting, trying to find something negative about Shador Sanders? Feels like it to me. Well, that's it. Same thing to Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, coming up here in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. To go further on Shador's first start, a win over the Raiders, and 10 sacks on Geno Smith, we head out and talk to our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, brought to you courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, what's going on?
I just got home.
You just got home, Daryl? Did you go get something to eat? Did we eat now?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
Okay, I was going to say. I was like, I know you're downtown now. You're off at 7. Now we're in 40 minutes. I'm no master at travel, but unless you walked backwards there on your hands, I don't think that it would have taken this long.
5 hours with JP, I worked up quite the appetite.
And rightfully so, Daryl. I hope you enjoyed your meal. I hope it was nice. And now, 5 hours wasn't enough. You get to sit here and talk to me for a few more minutes. So that's always nice. Daryl, obviously, as we go back and look, you started off the show asking people how they would grade it. On like a traditional grading scale, a Shador Sanders start in his debut, what grade would you give it?
I'd probably give it a B.
Okay, we're right around the same. Two callers give it a C+.
Wasn't great. Wasn't Hall of Fame worthy. They're not going to send the film to Canton, Ohio. But he was better than Dylan Gabriel. He made plays that, quite frankly, we've not seen Dylan Gabriel show the ability to make. And they won the football game. It checked all the boxes for me. And again, wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes, but you saw tangible improvement from the half he played against the Ravens to the four quarters against the Raiders. So yeah, I think a B is appropriate.
Yeah, I mean, Daryl, I gave him a B+, and I mean, right around the same thing. We had very similar thoughts the way that the game went. It was far from perfect, but I viewed it in a lot of ways that I viewed a Dylan Gabriel game against Miami. Obviously, there were more flashes of great things. Like, it's not a 1-1, but it felt right. Like Shador kind of did what was asked, and it's not a game that anybody's going to write in the record books, but he did everything you asked of him to win the game. Do you see the comparisons? Would you agree with that?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sort of between those two games and the way they played?
Yeah, I think that that's fair.
I know you heard the Connor Orr clip from the MMQB with Albert Breer. Does it feel like at this point, A, that people are just kind of trying to find a way to hate on almost anything that Shador does?
Well, I mean, he's a lightning rod for attention and criticism. I'll just say this. There's a lot of, and I said this on the afternoon show. So in case you missed it, you can hear it now.
You guys do that at 6:40, Daryl. That's okay.
I feel like a lot of people that don't watch the games and don't really know what's going on are paid a lot of money to deliver a lot of hot takes. And it kind of frustrates me to some degree, but I also understand that, hey, that's what our business is. And, you know, you can't watch everything. It's impossible. But I just feel like that there have been some in the last week or so that have just been bananas and just beyond the scope of reality for me. I think that he gets, I think he's unfairly criticized because he's just a naturally energetic type of a person. I think that his confidence is conflated with arrogance. Cause we've heard the humility card played, the need to be humble card played multiple times, since Sunday. The talent thing is going to play out. We're going to find out whether or not this kid can play at this level over the course of the weeks and the months and hopefully years to come. But the snap judgments and the attacks and telling him he needs to be humble and things like that. I understand why some people might perceive it that way. I just, in my interactions with Shador Sanders, I don't think he's arrogant. I just think he's a genuinely confident person, which you have to be successful at this level. And also, too, and I thought Albert Breer made a great point, because I asked him basically the same question you just asked me. Mm-hmm. And he did say that, sometimes that he, from his view, maybe Shador doesn't understand how he comes off or how he is being received by people. And I think that that's a totally valid and fair critique. But I do feel like there are some people that, they're just, no matter what this kid does, they're going to have a hot take that's negative, that's going to go viral, and everybody's going to talk about it, and they're going to make their money. You know what I mean? It's just the circle of life in our business these days, and it's part of the business these days. But I'm not saying it's right or fair, but that is what it is. But like I said, I judge people on how they treat me and what I see with my four eyes. And Shador is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I have a much more positive view of him as a person, as well as a football player, than I think a lot of people do.
Daryl, we go into this, and obviously Kevin was obviously naming Dylan the starter on Monday, but it didn't go anything past this week. Do you truly feel that this is a week-to-week experiment at this point, or is Shador kind of earned the right to have the starting job until it really feels like it's time to take it away, similarly to the way we felt about Dylan.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think he should be the starter until he's worse than Dylan Gabriel, which means he's going to start the rest of the year because I don't think him being worse than Dylan Gabriel is possible. So, yeah, I think he should. I'm not saying that they have to go out and name him the starter. I you know, maybe make him quote unquote earn it, right? And do the perceived week to week thing. But Dylan Gabriel's out of concussion protocol. They could have just as easily gone back to him. It would have been a nonsensical thing to do, but they could have easily done that. They didn't. They're sticking with Shadur, and I think that that speaks for itself.
Now, Daryl, obviously, I was in here with Monday while you were on with JP as well, and I know you were a little surprised, as people could hear on the air, the fact that Kevin named Shadur the starting quarterback on Monday. Was there anything?
Oh, I thought you were going to say I was surprised that Jonathan popped confetti.
Well, I was. I think all of us were a little surprised by that. I don't think anybody quite saw that one coming. I was much more expecting you know, JP to walk in with a Shadur jersey than I was confetti to be just laid across the studio. But was there part of you that genuinely thought after this game there was a chance that Kevin was going to name Dylan the starter?
Yeah. In fact, I feared it.
I mean, we were in the same boat.
If he had cleared concussion protocol, yeah, I feared it a little bit. The reason I was surprised that he named Shadur the starter for this week was just because that's typically something he does on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Usually he punts that and says, well, you know, we've got to see where Dylan is and, you know, got to get together and make that decision. And so for him, just to, without unsolicited, by the way, which I think threw everyone on that Zoom conference call for a loop, right? Because everyone was like processing the information of, oh, Shadur's going to start on Sunday against the 49ers. All right, we're not going to have to ask 150 questions about what Kevin saw yesterday, and you know how that could impact his decision making processes, and right. So, and then they have to go ahead and rinse and repeat same said questions on Wednesday going into the game. I was surprised that Kevin did that, but also I was glad he did it because I think that you save yourself some headaches by doing that as well, right? Yeah, there's just no, he played well enough to get another look. Go ahead and give him another look. There's no shame in saying that. And then, you know, see how things go against the 49ers. And, you know, then you have another decision you have to make the following Monday.
Daryl, outside of the quarterback spot, and of course, Daryl Ryder with us here, does it feel like people are maybe being just a little bit too harsh on Jerry Jeudy at this point? I know John Fanta was on today, said that he had seen enough of Jerry Jeudy. I heard a lot of fans go the exact same route. Hey, does it feel like people are maybe just a step over the line based on the fumble? And maybe a little bit what preceded it.
Listen, I get people's frustrations. Obviously, the 90-second media availability didn't help his cause. He certainly didn't come off great there. Look, I've been around a long time, approaching three decades now. I've seen a lot. As someone who asks the questions and as someone who will admit that hasn't always asked the best questions or phrased questions the best way, like, I'm going to give the guy a little grace. He's probably having a bad day or whatever. I'm not going to read too much into that. Listen, I'll just say this about him. He's the number one receiver on the team. He needs to act like it, and he needs to play like it. It's just that simple. Make the plays. Now, that was a mental mistake trying to do too much. And luckily it was the Raiders, so it didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, right? Did not impact the game. I'm not going to sit here and say that they should be done with Jerry Jeudy. I'm not going to say that he's a bad guy and it's time to run him on a rail out of town or anything like that. I will say, though, he needs to play better. He needs to catch the football when it's thrown to him, and he's got to be mentally in tune with what's going on. You got a quarterback now that will get you the football. So be ready for it, and be ready to do your part and hold up your end of the bargain, because I get it. You know, three, four starting quarterbacks last year, another three quarterbacks this year. I understand his frustration because he dealt with this in Denver. Same thing, right? Just every other week, a new quarterback he's got to deal with, right? And I understand that can negatively impact you, but you can only control what you can control. And I don't know, maybe if you caught a few more footballs, maybe some of those quarterback changes wouldn't happen. So I do feel like it is incumbent upon Jerry to go out there and do his part. I'm not going to say he's loafing it. I'm not going to say he doesn't care. I'm not going to say that he's not trying or anything like that. I'll just say that his performance to this point this season is unsatisfactory, and he needs to be better. And he's got a quarterback that I think can help him as well. So he needs to do his part to help out that quarterback.
All right, Daryl, we got to run. Obviously, we're going to talk to you tomorrow night as well at 8 o'clock. We are.
We are.
We are indeed. We're going to talk about a 49ers game that Shador's going to play in. I know there's some stadium news as well that's bounced around. We'll talk about that tomorrow as well. But for now, Daryl, you've done enough radio. Take some time.
Okay, I'm going to go eat some dessert now.
Enjoy your dessert, Daryl. Thank you.
You bet. Bye.
Daryl Ryder, our Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, brought to you there courtesy of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Get a Grip comes your way in 5 minutes. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back, and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.